Excellent. So the epilogue to the story of the Meraglim is a halacha. And the halacha is the mitzvah of tzitzis. And it is so extremely powerful in that it is really the capstone of the story of the Meraglim, right? Rashi quotes and says that the eyes, when it says Lo Sasur Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Einechem, the eyes are our Meraglim. The eyes are our Meraglim, meaning they are the things that go out and they will view the world that's around us. And on that point, we have to take pause to understand what the message of tzitzis is, and specifically how it responds to both Meraglim and somehow incites Korach, which is subsequent to this story. And it's kind of the linchpin. And the only way to understand it is the way that it's described by Chazal. Chazal say that the parsha of tzitzis is, in a certain way, it's describing the totality of mitzvos, right? It includes the totality of mitzvos, and the tzitzis represent the taryag mitzvos. Further, in the mitzvah of tzitzis, we understand that there are two prime components that comprise tzitzis, and that is the tcheles and the lavan. This is not always so evident to us because today, quite frankly, very few of us wear tcheles. I see that there are two tcheles wearers here, which is wonderful. But still, you're a minority among those who are here. And tcheles, we have maybe more tcheles awareness than we did in the past 100 years. But we certainly have we just don't have the same sort of awareness about tcheles. So it takes a little bit for us to remember that tcheles is indeed a critical component to tzitzis and indeed part of its message. The Gemara and the Chazal tell us in Menachos is that the blue in the tcheles is supposed to remind us, right, of the sea, which is supposed to remind us of a whole series of different things, which eventually reminds us of the Kisei HaGavod, of God's heavenly throne. Okay, the Netziv is going to say that within the context of tzitzis being representative of all mitzvos, it's going to give us a different message, and that message is found within the two components of tcheles and lavan. Additionally, there is one other piece that should have been mentioned prior to all of this, is that while the story of tzitzis is indeed kind of the end of the story of Shlach, of the Meraglim, there is a story in between them. And that story is the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim. So I'm going to just read it back to you so you can hear the words. It's very simple. V'yubnei Yisrael b'midbar, the Jewish people were in the midbar. V'yimtzu ish mekoshesh etzim b'yom ha-Shabbos. There was a man gathering wood on Shabbos. V'yakrivu oso ha-motzim oso. Those who found him brought him. Mekoshesh etzim el Moshe v'al Aron v'al kol ha'edo. They brought him to Moshe and Aron, to the entire congregation. V'yanich oso b'mishmar. They put him in the hold, you know. Kilo farash maya aselo. They didn't know, according to Chazal, they didn't know what misa he should get, what sort of death penalty he should get. Yomar Hashem el Moshe Mosu mas haish. He should die. Rogomo so bavanim. He should get skila kol aida mechutz l'machana. Yotziu so kol aida mechutz l'machana. They took him out of the camp. Yigumo so bavanim, and they stoned him. Vayamos kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. He died just as it commanded. So there's a story of a Jew, of somebody being Mekoshesh Eitzim, the question being certified, the Jewish people following it through. And then, immediately after, V'yomar Hashem al Moshe l'imor dabir al b'nei Yisrael mar talehem, asu hem tzitzis al kanfei v'yidem l'dor osam, asmi al tzitzis al kanaf p'sil tcheles v'chulei. There's an intermediary story. So the two questions that we're going to work on immediately are, one, what is the concept that's set forth in the Tchilas and the Lavan, and two, why is this story put right next to the story of the Mekosher Sheitzim? Meaning it's clear, we now know that the eyes of the Meraglim, right, Lo Sasur Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Einechem, but what is it that this other story brings to us? So to understand this, I'm going to read to you from the Tziv's piece. He says as follows: Ha'inyan. Here's what it means. D'shtei zechiros halalo. There are two different messages or two different reminders that are comprised, one in the Lavan and the other in the Tchelas. Lavan v'Tchelas ba'os l'shnei ofanei hanagas adam b'Yisrael. Each of them represents different modes of expression of a Jewish person. Ayachad, mishachayav b'derech ha'kvusha l'rabim, also k'nyani parnasa. This is a person who works. They are following the derech ha'teva. They're doing the normal workaday pedestrian life. Even though you're on your feet for 15 hours a day, you still got to stop for mincha, you still got to follow mitzvos and say brachos and keep kashrus and do everything else. You got to learn, you got to educate your children and do all the other things which are essential for every nice, good Jewish girl and boy. Okay? And notice he says bizmana, he needs to do it accurately with great intent and great precision. Vasheni. So that's the first person. That's the everyman. The second one is not so much the everyman. Misha mufrash lavodas Hashem. Somebody who has been separated for the service of God. That's fine. Come on in. What is your rank? Dr. Unger, what's your rank?
Major.
What?
Major.
Major. Here you are. Okay, the good news is that I left my Makoros sheets by the door at home. The bad news is I have one, and it's in small print, but I can tell you whatever I want. So now, the Mishahu Mufrash. So the Tchelas and the Lavan, Dr. Unger, the Tchelas and the Lavan represent two different people. The first one is the everyman who is bound by the necessities of life, but still has to execute halacha and Torah with precision. And the second one is somebody who is a holy man, right? Lavoras Hashem umis bodeid. Mis bodeid is probably not what you're thinking, but they're out v'shakua atzmo l'avas Hashem. They're engaged actively in avas Hashem. When you and I think of avas Hashem, we think of it, of the love of God, we think of it in terms of just simply the sacrifices we make out of love of God. Meaning, my alarm is going to go off at 3:56 tomorrow morning, not because I think it's the healthiest thing to do, not because I really want to know what time the sun rises, but because I love a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I have things to do, and there's miles to go before I sleep, and I need to get stuff done. And if I don't learn then, when am I going to learn? Right? That's Avas Hashem. That's a Kiddush, meaning you make a Kiddush Hashem in the sacrifices that you do. But his Avas Hashem is this ethereal connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a spiritual connection, as it were. Right? And we say to the second person, V'gam alav lishmor mitzvah bizmano. They need to keep a mitzvah bizmano also. V'lo lakapeach maiseh mitzvah bishvil dvekus. And they would not be able to forego a mitzvah because of their cleaving to God. Chas v'sholom. Heaven forfend. Meaning, the first person is in the boardroom, right? And he can't forget mincha because he has to be osek in parnasa. The second person is in the woods talking to God. And he can't forget to do mincha, because he's out there doing his thing. Two different worlds, two different views, two different people. That's the Tchelas and the Lavan, says the Netziv. Farum Chazal b'Maseches Shabbos. So now here's one of his favorite rayas. Shows up in Parshas Vayera. Gedola hachnasas orchim mehakbalas b'nei Ashchina. Hachnasas orchim, entertaining guests, is greater than greeting God's Shekhinah. And we learn that from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, right, is connecting to the Borei Olam, connecting to Creator of the world, and he says, just wait a second, I have Orchim. Right? So this is not something that is speaking to the local issue of Hachnasas Orchim, says the Netziv. But instead, this is speaking to the global concept that mitzvah matters come before spiritual matters. Okay? It's not that this mitzvah per se is greater than greeting a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ela godol lifnei Hashem. It is greater in front of Hashem. So ze ha mitzvah shel Hashem yoser mimach shel hachnas zorchim. Yosir me'ak b'nas p'nei Hashchina, because it's a mitzvah. U'mishi agiya avas Hashem, la'avas Hashem v'kabalas p'nei Hashchina, v'yigiyah l'fan of mitzvah, sh'algnach z'orchim, and somebody who is connecting so deeply to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and an oreach knocks on their door, alav l'hafzik t'veku so, they should stop what they're doing. L'izdakek l'mitzvah sh'ba liyado, k'mo sh'asa Avram Avinu, they should do just what Avram Avinu did. Right? Kmo shekosov she mitzvah she beinu l'shamayim she ain efshar l'asos ayda acherim. There are all these mitzvahs somebody else can't do. So it says v'al elu shnei ofanei chayi Yisrael tziva Hashem l'asos kutim lizikaron. To both of these, there is a binding that will remind each of them. For the white, for the pedestrian, every man, we have the blue to remind them to say mincha, even though they're in the boardroom. And for the blue, the person with all this deep spirituality, they have the white to remind them to go daven mincha, even though they're in the woods talking to God. Okay? Who is the kulo tcheles person? Don't answer, you don't have to.
It's Korach.
Don't point. Well, he does mention the Medrash. But he's just a straw man. He's really just a populist. Meaning he's mentioning it because it's an easy target. Right? It's easy to be quote-unquote machmir. Right? Of course, everything should be kulo tcheles. Right? It's easy to make life so binary. So that's why he's such a good populist. But he doesn't believe that. But who is it?
I think you're demeaning Korach's rhetoric. I think that was a very good shayla. Talis Shekulo Tcheles, mine, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. It's off topic, but I have a sheet on about Korach. I'll try to write something. I'm planning on writing something tomorrow about it, actually. Blee Nader, I'll try to send it to you.
I don't think he's being flippant at all.
Do you think it's a real time?
I think it's a different view of religion, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a challenge for me to not respond, but I'm not taking the bait. Okay. So he says, Laman Tizkeru. So what is it? What is this? So he says, Laman Tizkeru. What's the Zechira? It's to the person who's in the woods. And he says, you need to make the Chutim Shemore al Hiskashrus v'machshavos kvos. This is the person in the boardroom that you need to think big ideas, big thoughts. But this person thinking big ideas needs to do maisa mitzvah bizmanam, in their time. Is anybody getting who he's talking to just yet? Perhaps a movement that became popularized in the 19th century? I think Dr. Verderami's onto something here. Right.
You can't just dial him whenever you want.
Mikol makom eino merutza l'shamayim. It is not desirable, Kadosh Baruch Hu, ashiyeh oseh mitzvah bizmano, until you do the mitzvah with all of its bells and whistles and all of its exactitude in its time. Asiyeh kedusha sol elokim. Then you'll be holy to God. And then he says, by the way, there's another prize, And that prize is a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you all this Dveikus back once you do it through the modalities that are prescribed through the Dalet Amos of Halacha. Okay. So then he goes on. And this is really quite remarkable. There's a tshuva question of that's written in the Igros Moshe. Can somebody stay up late learning at night if there's a suffix of whether or not they're going to make it to Minyan the next morning? Right? There's a suffix. Is there anybody exhausted here that's a question about? I know you're going to an early Minyan tomorrow too. So, who is this, right? You're busted. And I've got your mother on the phone who said you shouldn't have come tonight too. You can't make this up. He says, look, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why is it so critical to the Netziv that this mitzvah, which is now both giving a zinger to the people in the boardroom and the people in the woods, right? Why is it that this mitzvah, this two-sided mitzvah, is introduced by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim? Right? So he says, Shtei pa'amim v'adrash b'menachos yadu l'gmar, in Menachos says as follows. He says, it says, Ani hu she'asi li para, v'ani hu she'asi l'shalim schar. I am the one in the future which will punish, and I in the future will give reward. And he says, this is the two different kinds of Avodas Hashem. When the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, there were also very deeply spiritual and religious people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Hashgacha on them with Nisim Niglim and with Hashgacha Pratis and everything else. But the majority of the Jewish people knew barely anything from Torah and Mitzvos. Right? And for them, there was very little Hashgacha, very little oversight. For what they did until they left Mitzrayim and accepted the Torah, and then Kodesh Baruch Hu changed his involvement again, and he became very helicoptery again, right? So he says, "What happens? Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am," and then it says Ani Hashem Elokeichem again. Why? He says, "I took you out of Mitzrayim so I could be Mashgiach for you." For I could be looking over you for my mitzvos. And the second one is said stam, meaning I was already before Eretz Mitzrayim. He says it depends on what you're doing. The Hashgacha depends on what level you're on. And then he says something further. He says something further, which is so extremely remarkable. He says, then you go on and we say, oh, velo sasuru. One should not tour. Well, that word should sound familiar because it's mitur haaretz, from checking out the land. So what is latur? Latur is to follow your fascination, perhaps. Okay? It says it's looking for something new. It's almost like traveling, right? He says, this is talking about, he says, Lo sasur acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem. The Gemara in Brachos says that is referring to minus, referring to heresy. So you would think, you know, don't follow your eyes and your hearts. That's lust. That's taiva, right? It's desire. But there's a nexus in between that and actual heresy. So what's the nexus? It's a little more benign than you would think, says the Netziv. He says, don't follow your feelings. Don't follow your hearts and write your own Shulchan Aruch. Because that is just like minus. Sha'alev nimshach acharav. Why? It says, what is this talking about? It's saying, don't start writing your own rules. Afilu masha'enu b'chlal ha'mitzvah satorah. It says, things which just have nothing to do with the Torah at all. You know, somebody who, something which is not written in the Torah and you're doing out of love of Kodesh Baruch Hu, could on its face be a very good thing. But he says, don't follow your heart, because why? Don't be so brazen to seek new mitzvos. We have mitzvos already. Tzitzis represent the Taryag mitzvos. Don't look outside of this. Lo sasuru, do not waver from the Taryag mitzvos that are represented right in front of you, because that is the entire corpus of what you need. Shabol nechlal Taryag mitzvos v'lo yoser mehema.
That can also be an anti-Hasidic.
Of course. This whole thing is. Right? That's why it says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, because after he took us out of Mitzrayim, we had the mitzvahs. We finally had those mitzvahs. We finally could be who we were, and we finally had our marching orders. I am the one who gave you the marching orders. Do not deviate. Okay? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us an inheritance of these mitzvos, and specifically these, v'lo yoser, no more. So now everything comes to a head. Mekoshesh Eitzim. What's the connection? Famous comment of the Mitzvah. What was the malfunction of Mekoshesh Eitzim? So the Tosfos says that the Mekoshesh Eitzim, surprisingly, was not trying to rebel. He was not acting necessarily out of ignorance. He was trying to teach a point. The Tosfos The Mekoshesh Eitzim, this gatherer of wood, was doing it l'shem shemayim. He was doing what he was doing for the sake of heaven. How could you say that? The sake of heaven, to be mechal al Shabbos? It's really ridiculous when you think about it. It's laughable. Or is it? Niskavein Shechilel Shabbos Kedei Sheyaharik. He violated Shabbos so he would be put to death. V'yedu hador, and his entire nation, generation would know. She'af alpi shenigzor aleihem shelo yitkansu la'aretz, even though a decree had been made and would not be disturbed, that generation would not enter the land of Israel. Mikol makom chayavin b'mitzvos ha-Torah. They still need to keep the Torah. They were not a lost generation. And similarly, the erroneous thought that mitzvos outside of Eretz Yisrael don't matter would be put to rest. Right.
It's as if we can't go to Eretz Yisrael to keep the mitzvahs, why even bother in the mitzvah?
So
he's coming to tell you they do count.
That's precisely meaning he's it's really quite a it's a wild thing. A wild thought. So you know, we're familiar with the Sifri and the Rashi and the Ramban about the concept of mitzvos in chutz la'aretz and whether mitzvos in chutz la'aretz count or whether they're just practice. But nobody had ever said it's such a fait accompli that we shouldn't even bother. But maybe there were people like that that said, well, if I can't have it all, I'm not doing anything here. No mikdash, no nothing, forget it. We're bound, you know, due to our own stupidity, to be here in perpetuity and to die in the midbar, let our grandchildren keep the mitzvos. Comes the Mekoshesh Eitzim, L'shem Shamayim, with beautiful intent. And he says, I'll teach all of you. And because of me, just imagine how many mitzvot Hashem will accrue. Just one day alone. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of mitzvot were done on the coattails of this man who allows himself to be put to death because he was dispelling an erroneous belief in theology and law. He was so dedicated to this idea that he would throw himself onto the sword to take one for the team.
Which raises a more interesting question of what is an Aveira Lishma?
Oh, so I'll get there. So this is, you know, this is, he says it's an Aveira Lishma. Here, go further. Yesh Lis Bonein, right? We want to know, Mi Ayin Hotziu Chazal Remez Dekach Haya Maisa Shniz Kavan Lishim Shemaim Lefi Devarenu. We can explain this very simply. Lamanu mismichas parsha satzitzis. We learn that the parsha of tzitzis is right next to the also parsha shel mekoshesh. Why? Nisharu achar kach gam al zeuf and she'ein ish latur. A person shouldn't be seeking the hischadshus to look for new mitzvos. Achar mitzvos chadashos v'lasos aveira lishma chas v'sholom. You should not do an aveira lishma. What about the sugya of gadol aveira lishma mitzvah shelo lishma? The abagav the isa ben nazir. Even though the Gemara tells us explicitly, gadol aveira lishma mitzvah shelo lishma, a aveira lishma, something done with pure intention, whether good nor bad, has a great, great level to it. Even though they tell us that, mikom akom, ze'enu el shabbat, sha'at liyado shemuchrach la'asos aveir l'shemim shemayim. This is only when the time calls for it. Now, Julian is going to say, that's great, but the distinction leaves us without instruction. When does the time call for it and when does it not? Right? Yaakov Avinu uses the mita of armimus, right? And to get the Bechora and take it away from Esav. And there, the Netziv says, yes, it's true that this is an Aveira Lishma, but it wasn't completely Lishma. There was a shemetz of Geshmak that Yaakov Avinu had when he heard his brother cry out in pain. And he said, oh, the bad guy got what was coming to him. And because of that, says the Netziv, quoting the Medrash, that Mordechai had to cry out at Saka Mara Gedola, just like Esav. So, can somebody ever do something completely lishma? Challenges the Netziv. And he goes on, but he says, the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim is a great example, yet again, of an exceptional man trying to do an exceptional thing, falling slightly short and teaching all of us that the only place where we should be looking for our dveikus is within the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, is within the four cubits of Halacha. Okay? But he goes on and he says even further some extremely remarkable things, and he goes on and he says, if you look in the Aruch of Dover, he will tell us that there are a few other points that need to know. One is that there are lots of mitzvahs, people of different dispositions, and different dispositions will yield us to different places. Some of us will be base medrash boys and girls, where we spend a lot of time learning. Others will be more for gemilas chasadim. Some will be a melding of the two, or perhaps something else. But it all has to be the Targum Mitzvah, so we can't start looking for new things which simply weren't there. He quotes this Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak of Avos. It says, Rebbe Omer Izu Derech Yishara Shivor Lo Adam. What is the straight path that a person should choose? It says, Kol Shi Tiferes Lo Osea. Anything which is Tiferes, Dr. Unger? Splendid.
Honorable.
Says the man in uniform. Major. The what is honorable to Kadosh Baruch Hu and honorable in the eyes of man. Oh, but what's honorable to a Kodesh Baruch? Who says the Netziv? The Netziv says, very partial. Has to be honorable to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because if you start looking for things that are honorable to other people, you're using the wrong litmus test. You need to look to the Taryag Mitzvos and then find an appropriate mode of expression. So it says, She'ein kol adam shavah b'lichos. She says, fine, but you need to find a way, tiferes lo se'a lo se'a derech, to the exception of the people who are trying to do an aver l'shem shamayim. It's really quite simple, says the Netziv. It's really quite simple. Okay? So, there's a handful of other Netzivs that speak to this very same point. By the Eish Zara with Nadav and Aviyu, it's important to know, he says, Shenichnasu me'esh. What's the Eish Zara? Eish hislahavus. What's hislahavus? They were on fire. They were all excited and fired up. Shel avas Hashem, of loving Hashem. V'amra Torah, says the Torah, af agav de avas Hashem yikarhi b'nei Hashem. Even though the Kodesh Baruch Hu finds people who love him to be so particularly precious, aval lo baza derech hashetziva. But that's not what he's asking for. He says, no, it needs to be within the Dalai Lama's of Halacha yet once again. Right? And as soon as we start looking for things that are going to be outside of the Derech of Hashem, it was simply not going to work.
Even if it's an inflammatory, passionate.
Yes. Right.
Is this, in a few weeks we're going to hear about Pinchas, right? Is that the same kind of idea? Same kind of, does the Netziv connect that story to this at all? Or is it?
He has a little bit of a slightly different take, but what's your antinomian side in Pinchas?
Well, did Pinchas have a right to do what he did?
So Rashi quotes a Medrash that says that he asked the Shaila before he did it.
To whom?
To Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he says that Bol Aramis Kanayin Pogenbo, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, can you confirm that I have a right to kill these people?
And is that the normative opinion? That
he wasn't punished.
He was rewarded. That was not viewed as antinomian. Yaakov Avinu is a greater raya, but the Netziv turns that on its head. Okay, so just a minute of analysis, and then we're just open for questions, is that the analysis here is that it's very clear. The Netziv has a two-part view. The first view is that people who are seeking a certain sort of dveikus primarily, and using the halacha as a mode secondarily, are inverted. They should be following the halacha and having the dveikus come along with it. But when you start making the dveikus the first goal and the halacha the second goal, what ends up happening is that when, you know, God forbid you should have to choose, they're choosing wrong.
They're choosing what?
They're choosing wrong. They're doing what they consider to be an aveira lishma, and it's not really lishma. Okay? That's a critique. Those who are well-versed in the history will know that the Netziv may have been speaking to a particular group, but his comments really speak to all of us today, because we're all struggling, if living in the 21st century, we're all struggling to try to find meaning in what we do. And occasionally we find ourselves on the other side, where we're almost bordering on orthopraxy instead of orthodoxy. And we're trying to put in the Eish Shel Hislahavus. So it kind of hurts. It may hurt some of us to hear something like this, but at the same time, the Netziv carries a long, tried and true message. And that is, if you follow the behaviors of the Dalat of Amos Havalacha, all the other elements will follow. Okay. All right. Questions, comments, concerns, critiques? Should I do the Netziv justice?